Good afternoon, everybody. It's a little bit, I have 1 minute to start, but hey, what the heck, let's start. We might run over anyhow, so let's see. Last session, can do basically whatever I want. So thank you very much for coming. How many of you attended the morning session? Wow, you guys are brave, actually, to come here again. I salute you on this one. Whew. So yes, I hope this session will be a little bit better in terms of smoothness and demos and such. So again, introduce myself. My name is Yochai Kiryati. I'm a program manager on the Azure team, specifically working on Azure websites. And this particular session will be a deep dive into hidden gems, tips and tricks for Azure websites, which is a mouthful of name. But yeah, we're going to see some cool stuff that I hope that maybe you're not all familiar with. Get to know some awesome websites feature that we have. Some of them we have seen in the morning, but some we have not. Get you guys excited and fired up. Hopefully all of you will come out of this and doing websites. And then specifically we'll look into how you guys come doing some advanced stuff with auto-healing, debugging, tracing, monitoring, and all that goodness. But to begin with, as usual, let's actually start with a demo. Switch, see, remember to switch on my own. All right. So we'll use, again, bits of bytes with the old and new portal. This will be just a little bit wee faster. Let me start by creating a new website. See how easy it is. I'm going to create a custom one. We're creating a custom one because this is an advanced stock. I'm going to say the all. Come on, All Blacks, right? That's the national name of the team. All Blacks, cool. I wonder if they gave the black T-shirt for everybody here because they have speakers that are Australian and they're wearing black. I don't know. Anyway, so just my conspiracy theory, but that's how I am. Help me find default server farm on East. Thank you. My subscription, and what we're going to do is we're going to check this little checkbox, which will allow me to automatically bind into source control. I'll go to GitHub, just because it's a lot faster than anything else. It will authenticate. I have already authenticated while retrieving some information. Here's the project that I have. Let's start with Node app, go master, create, and now it's actually go ahead, and it will provision a site, automatically hook to GitHub, and we'll do the magic from there. So let's see it. It's creating a website. Let it think about it for a few seconds. It's have created a website. Now I want to go and see actually the deployment. So now site is created. I'm going into the deployment tab. The All Blacks, here's the deployment tab, and here's deploying. Now it will take a bit to deploy because while the Node app is fairly light and simple, pretty much the same app that we've seen in the morning. Node brings with it a lot of files, all the NPM, all the install, all the modules, so it takes a little bit of time, a few seconds, a few more seconds, even a few more seconds. Now give it a... All right, so it is it. It's deployed. So whatever you have, Visual Studio, TFS, Git, you can go ahead and run the site. So again, it's a very simple site. You know, nothing much to write home about. With that respect. While it's loading, see it takes time to cold start. We've talked about it in the past, in the morning, we'll talk about it again. Here's the site, I added some line, yada, yada, and so forth. What I want to show you is like, for example, the deployment, if you're looking into more advanced topics, you can actually go ahead and write your own deployment scripts. And I'm gonna show you here because it's really horrible, but you can see here the deployment command that ran. You can actually go ahead and grab that script. You can write your own whatever you want. Pre-deployment tests, post-deployment steps, you can abort, you can do copies, you can update, you can do whatever you feel like. And this is the actual deployment. You'll see that the app itself is not that big, but then he needs to bring in, the system needs to bring a lot of Node stuff. So you see, building Node is great, but there's a lot of packages that come with it. That's why it takes a little bit of time, or cold start and so forth. So while I've seen that, this is the app. We've seen the app in the past. Nothing a lot about that. Cool. So this demo is about continuous integration demo. And because of that, I want to show some nice trick. What I'm going to do is basically I'm going to find a way to hook into the deployment. So when anything happens on the site, when anybody tries to deploy anything, I will be notified. To do that, I'll go to Zapier. How many of you guys are familiar? You know what Zapier is? Few. Basically, it's kind of a if-then-that, just on steroids. You can do a bunch of stuff. We have integrated into Zapier with Azure websites. So I already have one for my preparation, and in case this thing explodes, let's create a new one. We'll make a new Zap. I'm going to choose a trigger. There is a lot of triggers. You're more than welcome to look at this. This is a pretty cool site and a service, but I'll use specifically Azure website. And as you can see, everybody can see from the back. Yeah, as you can see, there are two triggers that we have implemented, two hooks that we have implemented. One of them is for a web job, which we'll see a little bit later. And right now, what we want to show is the site deployment. So it's through site deployment. Then what? Then basically, I want to do phone. And this is why it's a high risk, because it's going to call to my phone. But it's like international, so I have no idea how it works. It works before, but we'll see. Call the phone. OK, continue. What I need here, basically, I need to add a new account. This is the only manual step that you'll need to do. Unfortunately, we haven't solved that yet. Working on it. In the configuration tab, there is something called deployment URL hook, a trigger. This is basically extremely similar, almost painful identical, to how we are hooking into Git. When you're pushing to Git, something happens and content moves to the website. This is exactly the same implementation with respect to the pattern. Yes, allowed to copy. And paste it here. And continue. So now, right now, he's continuing and he's checking and making verification and so forth. So we are hooked. Continue. All right. Let me just make sure I follow up with my notes. Configuration, setup messages. OK. Now, phone, I'll call myself. I can test the account just to show you, but let's actually play it. Let's take it risky. You can apply filters, meaning there could be a lot of messages coming in through the deployment. You may want to apply filter actually when you're going to create. Doesn't matter. Let's not create filter right now. And let's do the message. So the message would be like, hello, tech, add New Zealand. Deployed by. And here I can insert some field. And these are fields that are actually coming specifically for the deployment from Azure website. This is where we did the integration. So the author, and you can see there is a sample data, deployed by, and then what? Status probably makes sense. Status is, which is success or fail of the deployment. Where is the status? Success. Great. Message, yeah. This is the commit. When you commit something, you allow to type a message. So we're working on that. Message, where's the message? Message. Yeah, good enough. You can choose voices, which is kind of cool. Let's choose woman, you know. If I'm being wake up at 2 a.m. in the morning, at least will be a friendly voice. We are testing this Zap. Testing the Zap basically go ahead and verifying stuff. So you can look at the test result, and basically this is like a message. This is the one I deployed, which is just right now, 432, and yada yada. Which is good. All right, and continue. Now we name it. Ticket and let's say ticket NZ demo 2. And turn on the Zap. So now I have turned on the Zap. Hopefully, I have turned on the Zap. So Zap is turned on. Good. All right, first time I actually used a phone in my presentation. I'm allowed to. I got a text saying success. Let's hope the actual phone call will make it. Cool. Now that we have the Zap, basically I can deploy stuff. But before I'm going to deploy stuff, and because this is a continuous integration, I want to show you a trick that we are using, I'm using for my production site. It's a cheap one, but it's a good. I'm going to create a quick create this time because I don't care for it to be an empty site. I'm going to call it the DevBox. Two, because I probably already have one. Default server from East. All right. And I'm going to create the site. Creating the site, this will be fairly simple. Site created, yeah, there shouldn't be any problem with that. Where is the site? DevBox 2. Okay, so what I want to do with DevBox 2, I want to go to configuration. And I want to go to configuration, come on. And I want to go ahead here and enable, where am I? Enable Visual Studio Online. This will allow me to see the experience we've seen earlier in the morning to basically go into an editor and into Visual Studio Online without anything else. Okay, so we've done that, go to the dashboard. Now you'll see here something that's supposed to come up and basically let me edit. Here it is, editing Visual Studio. Now I went in, now it's an empty site, so there's nothing there, which is fine. What I will do is I'll preempt and I'll go here, awesome node app, node, let me copy the URL, root, go here, hit the deploy, clone. So right now I'm cloning from GitHub to this site, kind of creating with it. This is just to show you how I can clone with it. And what I have here is a console. So like I have a console, a full-blown console, I can do run, execute commands. I can actually gonna do one right now. I'm gonna install all the modules that come with NPM to make the app is already here, as you can see, but it will not run without all the modules. So let me install the modules. And as you can see, or you will see in a second, there's a lot of modules. And this takes a little bit of time. So we can drink for now. By the way, since this is the last session, and we don't really care for going over, if you have any question, just go ahead, ask. Don't be shy. Don't need to wait for anything. So this is the site. Since we know how it looks, let's maybe make some change. Okay, one more line, and basically we can say, one more or two lines for this last demo of the day. And it saves, gonna save automatically. Again, this is the full production site. See, I refresh it, nothing happened yet. This is my DevBox site, and what I'm going to do here, I'm going to run the site on the DevBox. So instead of using my own computer, I'm using the website to actually code and debug and do a bunch of stuff. So again, there is a cold start. It takes a couple of seconds. All these files are coming in, and here it is. So we have another line of code. All right. So now what I want to do is go to Git. Here's the change. Let's go to the change. I add the change. Let's do a commit. Added. One more line. Demo. I'll do check. And now I can actually go ahead and do a push. Here's my cred. Okay. And it deploys, which is good. So let go. This is the dev box. Here's the all blacks, our original production site. Let's go to the deployment tab, and we'll see that the deployment tab have already picked up the updated version. So this is before, and now I'm going to refresh. Ooh, phone call. You can do it.
Hello, Tech at NewsYow, Matt deployed by Yacheck at Microsoft.com. Status a success message added one more line to the demo. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. All right. And now she's calling again. Thank you. Bye-bye. I think because it's international, she's going to call multiple times to rack up my account and my expense. Fine, so where were we? This demo, when? All right, so what we've seen is basically what I have here. I have here a dev site. a dev box. And this dev box over here, basically it's a site you can access from anywhere. Your iPad, your Surface, your phone, kind of being tricky. But you can, and if there's like amazing emergency, you can do something with it. I think we've done with this demo. We've pushed, we got the credits. Hooray, okay, over here. See, it's already going better than in the morning. So, Azure website is awesome. Yeah, I agree with me. Okay. So what we've seen, deployment options. We have the basics, FTP, web deploy. Do not use FTP or web deploy. Why not? Because don't use them. Use source control and continuous integration as we have just saw. Right? We support VS Online, whether Git or TFS, GitHub, Bitbucket, and we have cool stuff like Dropbox. You can set up a Dropbox and drop your stuff in there. Usually people do it just to save images, not really do stuff. And there's Debug Console. You can do stuff through that, although I would not do any kind of production or real production through that. But this is just a small recap. What we have seen, so we have a developer and he can publish directly to a website. This was the first step that we've done. Good, it works, it's great. However, ideally, you want to go through something called continuous integration, continuous deployment, never mind how you talk about it. Go through a source control, which is a GitHub. And this will allow multiple people, basically, to go ahead and do a bunch of stuff and have fun. We support GitHub, and as we've seen before. So what we've added the hook through Zapier specifically to basically have continuous integration and a hook. So if you guys will go ahead now and into my public repo, and I can add you, and you'll deploy, I'll get a phone call from a person. See, she's kind of talk funny, right? So we've seen that, right? Right. OK. So deploy notification, whenever deployment happens, we have it for web jobs as well. Payload contain a bunch of details. You can do whatever you want. You can send SMS. You can send email. You can hook it into a different hook to do other actions and yada, yada, yada. I saw people actually hooking this into test tweet. They're going to run a bunch of tests against the site and come back with a result, and then they can figure out what to do. We have to integrate with Zapier. It's up there. It's very easy. It's free to use, definitely to begin with. And the last demo, what we've seen is basically we have developers and we have this Visual Studio Online, which is another developer, and this is our emergency escape valve, or whatever you want to call it. This is where you can basically go ahead and say, hey, if all hell break loose and you can do something, then you're going to use that as an option. Works, as the demo has been shown. Visual Studio Online, there's a code name Monocode, there's a bunch of stuff about it. You can, you know, File Explorer, you can autocomplete, there is IntelliSense, you can search, you can perform Git operation, you can test, you can go live. Pretty much a full-blown editor for online, which is kind of nice. Okay, and then we've seen that through the deployment, we end up talking about stage deployment. And stage deployment, as we've talked in the morning, there is this thing called cold start. There is time, takes time to spin up a site. Even a node site, there is 100 or thousands of files coming with that site. Takes time to spin it up. What we have the staging. Since most of you have seen this in the morning, I'm going to fly through. We have a site. We set up the site. The site is being connected in the background to Visual Studio. We have a green thingy. Staging, we're happy, we test, we switch. Okay, we switched. Okay, we switched. So staging deployment, basically, developer go to staging, same. What we want to do is, again, stage with a CI. And this is very critical and important. Someone asked in the morning, how do we develop? And this is basically getting to the point of how we're starting to look into development. Okay? We never go ahead and do production with the deployment, just like that. You have your developer, they work on the source control, whether on-premise, we can connect that as well manually, but you still can connect it. Or GitHub, which will do the automatic deployments, and you point them into a staging site. And then whenever you want, you can basically swap. So we'll do a demo. I'll try to do it rather quickly. We need to do it because this will be a setup for some additional stuff later. We're here. Can close everything else. Oh, man, thank you. So I haven't done anything other than just close all the other tabs. OK, so now I want to create a new website. I'm going to create a new website, an empty one. which we'll call NZ. Let's call it like a fancy name, awesome web app. So it will be an awesome, an epic failure in case it blow up. Just set up for success. Default server farm east. Oh man, it's difficult. Where is it? East. Ignore this. All right, great. So, gonna create a website, very nice. Not going to be so difficult. So what we're going to do is going to create a website, and then I'm going to create another website. But I'm not going to do it through the console. I'm going to create a staging website. Okay. Awesome. This was the one. And what I want to do is basically I want to add a new deployment slot. I will add a new deployment slot. Will be extremely original, and we'll call it staging. There's an option here to clone configuration. This is where we get fancy. We can clone the configuration. So if you already have a website with app settings, connection strings, stuff like that, you can clone it, whole thing, to the other site. That will give you, allow you a little bit faster to ramp up. We don't have anything on this side, so it doesn't really matter. So now we're creating the staging site. Just a site, a charging model? The last question was there is a charging model. So a staging site is just not a, it's a site. It's the system has two parts, has the runtime, and has an admin, high level. From runtime perspective, there is no difference between a site and a slot. They're all sites, and I'm actually gonna show it a little bit later. From admin perspective, where the cost is, if you're on the standard or dedicated, you can do whatever you want. And I don't think you can create slots on free anyhow. So you're kind of OK with that. I will go here, and we'll set up a deployment. Again, I'll go GitHub just because it's quicker. And this time, I'm not going to talk the node. I'm going to take a different awesome app, this awesome app, which is just a .NET awesome app with bugs. There's a button that generates error, which is kind of cool. So go ahead. It's deployment, give it a couple of seconds, it will go and deploy it. As you can see, it's in the staging. While it's doing its thing, let me go to this site, let me browse, and this will be an empty page, empty site, sorry. So no surprises here, we didn't deploy, we didn't do anything, okay. I'm just showing it so I can show you the swap. And if I go here, so the new portal has some goodness in it when it works. So let's get deployed. Yes, let me browse. Here it is. Okay. So now you see there is a cold, this is the cold start. It takes time, bunch of time. We bring up the files from the share, we put it on a local VM, we spin it up, and yada yada. Takes time. Not a good thing if you are deploying and in production and you have massive amount or have a lot of crowds. Not a good thing. Okay. So we got it up and spinning. This is empty. Let's go here. Let's go dashboard. And let's do swap. So I'm going to swap between staging and destination, flip between them. We've seen this in the morning. There's nothing exciting here. Is it done? Maybe. Let's see. All right. It's done. So here it is. This is production. And now if you go on the staging is kind of sad right now. OK. No worries. Fine. So as we have talked in the past, as I'm allowing myself to actually go through, so we've seen stage deployment. It's a good thing with stage deployment. But what we say in the morning is that when you do this switch, you're switching everything. So your entire traffic goes from one site to another site. It works, as you can see, sometimes. It's also sometimes risky. So what we have introduced is testing in production, and this is what I want to show. The testing in production basically takes the idea of what we call in-flights, whatever you want. You're going to hear this term from time to time. And this is how we build or deploy software services. When we go with a new version, we go on a small portion of our capacity of VMs or whatever you want to call it. And we test the water, and we let some poor bastard, blow up on the mind and whatever. And then we, hopefully not, But basically what we're saying is we're testing it, and we add more and more. And then when we feel comfortable, we flip the switch, open the floodgates, and deploy massively across. And this happens all the time, like continuously. What we did with testing in production is basically bring that kind of capability to you guys, saying, hey, you know what? Instead of doing 100% switch between slots, I'm going to say that production takes 20%, 80%, sorry, and the test site will take 20. And we'll see what happens. If it's good, I can increase this to 20 to 40 or to 50 or swap. If it's not good, I can do a bunch of stuff. I can stop, I can move it back, I can delete, I can find a bug, I can fix, I can do whatever.
Automate the swap.
Who asked you?
Can you automate the swap?
Yeah, so the question was, can you automatically do the swap? So the answer to the question, very good question, the answer is yes. However, you can't do it from the UI today. You have to use PowerShell basically to say that auto swap. What we have set up is a ramp up. You can set up, you can define a starting point, 5%, an endpoint, 25%, time range, and we'll just do increase the increments. And we will do it for you. And you can specify the acceptance value of errors. And if it's under this threshold, we will auto swap once we end up on that. So yes, you can set it up into autopilot. Yes, sir. Yes, so, good question. So the question was, is there a way to segment the customer? Originally, this was developed as a kind of A-B testing. But we have understood that traditional A-B testing run through mostly through JavaScript and stuff like that. It will be painful to deploy a whole site for like changing color of an image or anything like that. However, yes, there are filters coming up. The first filter will be IP-based, kind of. And then the next filter will be client, browser, type, mobile, and yada, yada. And we're going to add more and more, but it will take some time to get up to that kind of level. It's not going to replace A-B testing. This is more of the continuous deployment integration story, where instead of doing a full dev test cycle and deploy and test it in something that is not your production environment, this is actually testing live code, live customers, like real customers. So what we have is basically, this is the same setup that we've seen before. What we've added here, and this is semi-accurate, but bear with me. Question, sorry, yes, sir.
What ensures that a customer,
I'm going to show you that to you. Good question. So the question was, what guarantee is that they will stay on the test site or staging site versus hop between different sites? Good question. You referred with days. We're not doing it at that level, but sessions. But yeah, we'll get there. Where was I? Yes, branches. OK, so we have different branches, right? You're supposed to work with the branches. Ideally, you have several layers, and you do RI and FI. Reverse and forward integrations. But basically what we are trying to say is that, again, it's not 100% accurate, but it kind of tells the story. We are going to make that branch our hotfix. We're not going to work on that branch. Everybody going to work on lower branches. And we'll RI and FI, FI forward up to the branch. And from there, we're going to do the staging and swapping and so forth. And in reality, to complete the story and the picture, what we have is 90% of the traffic goes into your main productions, like your stable environment. I would go about 4.5% goes to staging. Remember, this is all the time we are pushing code. And, you know, 0.5% or 0.1% or whatever you want go into your test. Now, it doesn't mean that you any check-in, you go in and you put it into test. You can still have gates. But once you're comfortable with the build, with respect to quality, you can now go and do continuous and fast iteration. And at that point, what you get is what we call a train. It's always moving, many, many carts, and we're just adding more and more along the time. So you're always deploying and shipping. See, this works really well. Okay, demo. So I'm not going to do the whole thing, because demoing this like end-to-end is painful. Or basically not painfully, just long. So what I'm going to do is this. I already have set up a site. We've seen this in the morning, L2 test. I'm going to show you how does L2 test, which is already set up with all the branches and three slots, so we have like four sites, set it up. We're going to try to go like simulate a bug, go into deploying, seeing a bug, start to debug it, figure out what's happened, deploy a fix, or do other mitigation. So L2 test. What I want to show you about L2 test is here is L2 test, and I already clicked the web test. Yes, you're seeing it. And the availability on the main production slot is pretty good. A few bumps here and there. You probably can see it from remote, but it's pretty good at 100% the last couple of days, hours. No worries about that. Remember that picture. Okay. Let's go. And ignore the big gray space in the middle. I got three slots, as we've talked in the past, dev, stage, and test. I'll go into dev in a second. I already have it open in a different window. And in terms of testing in production, what I got here is I have my dev site receive 10%, my test receive 20, stage 30, and the remainder goes here. And I can just easily go here and change it to 15 and see that things have been automatically updated. Okay, now, these values are exaggerated for the purpose of demonstration. Disregard. Okay, next, this one. Same thing. This is the same site. No tricks, portal. This is production. Okay, I'm not fooling you guys a lot. Basically, what we're seeing here is the slot. I've already picked the slots. Only pick the slots. And here are the three slots. And I chose dev, and I landed on the dev. And as far as my concern, a dev is a site. How do I know? I click the browse. And we're going to get to the dev site. Note, what we're seeing here is a bug, which we'll see in a second. Oh, sorry. See? This is L2-dev. And that's important. And so this is my dev site. And if I go to my prod site, which I'll do here, and I forgot to browse, I can browse to that, and I'll show it in a second. Let's go back here. Okay, so in the dev site, I went and I went check the web test, and voila, the web tests are looking not as good. Okay, there is a dip here. You can't really see it because it's seven days. It's a week. But there's a dip here. There is a big jump on the performance here. You can see definitely through here that availability is not as good as it supposed to be. Go away. However, this is the availability for 10% of the production element. So basically, in fact, you're impacting only like 2% or whatever, half a percent or whatever of real traffic. Obviously, this is horrendous, and even for testing, it's not that good, but for the purpose of this demo, works well. So we've seen that. What I want to show you is this is the dev site, and you can target those sites specifically like this. I'm going to open a new one just to make it easier for me. 1, 2, 3. So I'm going to go here to the main site. This is the main site. I'm going to go to dev. I'm going to go to test. And I'm going to go to stage. All right, all sites. So directly going to stage, yellow. Going to test, blue. Going to dev, kind of red, pink. Going into the main one, we get green. What is green, by the way? None of those, right? Good, none of those. This is good. However, what I want to show you is this. To answer your question, gentlemen in the back, I'm going to look at the cookies. I'm going to zoom in, no worries. I know it's hard to see. What you're going to see here is basically, this is a cookie called tip mix, which has a value, 92, which you can imagine the values are between 0 and 100. So this represents the percentage that we have set. So if I'm going to delete this cookie, I'm going to represent a new customer, new session. I'm going to refresh. And I've landed on a different version. Still going against the same URL, test. So user goes to foo.com, get routed behind the scene to the different slots. test in this case, and I can go ahead and delete and refresh, and I'm going to end up on the green again, and I'm going to try to get to the dev. That's 10%, it's going to be a little bit difficult, but you're going to get the idea. One more try. All right, see? Okay, dev. Now, if every time I'm going to refresh here, it's going to be dev. I'm only on the dev. And basically, it's a session cookie, it's go away, it will be expired at some point, and so forth. So we're here in the dev, and there is a bug somewhere, and it's going to show up at some point. I mean, maybe, maybe not. But there is a bug there, as you've seen before. And now we are supposed to troll and hunt the bug. Maybe if I go through an older session, you'll find the bug. One last try. Here's the bug, like from previous. Something happens, and you know I can't see everything. Refresh. Bug again. Nah. But it's there. Anyhow, so we have a bug. What do we do with the bug? We go through logs. We check. We test. What I want to show is that in practicality, we can debug into production directly into your live Antares website's code, hopefully, if it's going to work. So are you familiar with the Azure SDK to go with Visual Studio? Yes? No? Some of you? OK. So if you go to update Visual Studio, also for 2012 and 2013, you install the SDK, you basically get a Server Explorer over here. And you could log into Azure. You can see your cloud services, mobile, whatever, all the services, or majority of the services, and obviously websites. And you can see your websites. You can actually look at the files. You can look at log. There is a bunch of stuff like properties, and you can open the management, and you can see publishing profile. Great stuff. For working in production, or sorry, for working in integration with Azure and Visual Studio. What I want to show is basically right-click and attach a debugger. And this usually works, but actually, cancel, okay. To increase the probability of the success of the demo, I would like to do the following thing. To test dev deployment. Let me redeploy. Yes. So I'm redeploying whatever is the last branch, and as you can see here, I added a bug earlier today. This is Redmond time, which is about 5 hours ago. So I'm going to redeploy. It's up. This is the awesome. This is not the right one. If we go here, so this is the dev. I refresh, you'll see it's cold start. Takes time. And it's blow up immediately. Good, because we have a bug there. We need to fix it. Let it refresh again, but here it is. Okay, so still working. Great. Now I'm going to hit this, right-click, and I'm going to attach a debugger. And this can take some time, which is a good opportunity to break. What we're doing here is we're actually attaching to that process, the one process that your W3, WP, if you're familiar. Ignore that for a second. Usually it's OK. Usually. And we are going to go there, and here it is. We braked. So this is like traffic going against the site. If you want to go to that site, you'll see it. I can step in. I can go ahead. Let me actually set the exception, the breakpoint, where I actually respond with the 500. And we'll see the cause of that. Whoever wrote this code needs to be like, here it is. And let me refresh, and hopefully at some point we're actually going to hit the bug. Obviously now it's never going to happen. Oh, come on. What? Sorry? Oh, no, I'm running. No worries. I mean, you saw it stopping before. Now this is like being me. It's being a smartass, raising the bar. Like, say, yeah, go. Come on, buddy. You can do it. You can do it. Let's try. No cigar. Well, you get the idea. You can actually debug. You saw debug. Hey, we stopped, right? We stopped one time. If I put it over here, it should be able to work. Sorry? See? Here it is. All right. So, I mean, yeah, whatever. So let me continue. Let me drop this. Continue. You see the idea? You can actually go ahead and deploy in production. So let's say we deploy in debug in production. We found a bug. So there are a few things we can do with a bug if we identified issue. The gentleman over there asked if you can auto-ramp up and auto-deploy. You can probably do the same thing. You can trickle back. You can actually say, hey, you know what? Abort. Like, either you can delete this ramp-up testing on the production, and it's just, they're going to delete, basically it's going to delete the routing, not the slot or anything like that. It will auto-calculate the remaining 10% will go to production, and you're done. You can basically go ahead and, you know what, instead of 10%, let's make it something small. Let's make it something small. We still get traffic. We can try to debug. Okay, bunch of other options you can do. And you can obviously go ahead and, because we found the bug, you know, double click here, hit save, go ahead and deploy it into production. Since we're already 40 minutes in, it's okay not to deploy the fix into production, right? We cool? Cool? Okay, good. So we've seen this. Move on. So we've seen testing in production. Next topic I want to talk about is web jobs. We've added web jobs about 8 months ago, and touch wood, GA in October. And in October, we're going to GA web job with a new SDK and a bunch of other stuff around it. Really cool. You can use web job for any background task that you want. Clean up your database, send email, do any kind of async operation that you have. We're using WebJob extensively to contact and to synchronize content between different regions and do a bunch of stuff around that. Basically, you can run anything. You can run command files, batch file, PowerShell, executable, Java, Python, PHP, whatever you want. There are two types. There are continuous, which basically are a forever loop, right? Goes ahead and do whatever has to happen. And they are triggered, which can be either on demand, on schedule, and they are doing some work and going to sleep. They can be triggered externally, there's a scheduler, or you can on demand use it. Everything has an API, which we'll actually see a little bit, some of it. So let's go to the demo. We're done with this, go here, this one. So we have deployed this awesome app. Where's the awesome app? This awesome app, which is New Zealand awesome web app. Here the code. There's not a lot into it. We're going to generate 500, 400. We're going to produce some logs for a later demo. And we already have a job in it. Here it is. This app data, jobs, continuous, here is a job. And it has a PowerShell script, not a lot into it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a trick that comes with Visual Studio, is right-click, go away, right-click, add web jobs. All right. Now, it's cool. Name and everything, run continuously, run on schedule. You can actually put the calendar there. I'm not sure what they're going to do with it, but hey, it's not me. Run on demand, scheduler. With the scheduler, you can actually say like end time, recurring, and so forth. However, I'm not going to do that because that's the easy path. I'm going to show you the hard way. Cancel. Good. So, web jobs are basically a naming convention to files. So it's a file. It's an executable. You just put it there, and it will. We will take care of the rest. So under updata jobs continuous, if you have triggered, you'll see triggered folder. You have my web job too, so let's go to this place on the disk. data, jobs, continuous, my job. Okay, so what we're gonna do is basically copy. Cool. Let's edit. So this is doing fantastic work. It's basically streaming, I'm starting, and then while true, it's echoing something and sleeping for 5 seconds. So let's make it sleep for 8 seconds, so there's a little bit difference between them, and be working for, hey, he's successful. I didn't get any cheers, no claps, no love for me. Okay, so this, done, oh, almost done, sorry. Now I have to go and just take this and drag it into the continuous. And voila, and here's the job. And pretty much that's it. Save. Saving. It's saved. Yes. Need to push it. Remember, we're working with Git, so let me pull up the GUI. You can do it through Visual Studio. This is just a lot easier or faster. Add a new job. So just one branch over here. If I were to do the other demo, you can see all the branches that we have, but we didn't, so. So we're pushing it. Success, it's out, close. Thank you, thank you. Going out, going once, going twice. So which site are we, by the way? This one, right? Yes. I think we are actually doing it on the production one directly, which is not good, but we're not. Oh, no, where are we doing it? Over here. Sorry. Did I push? I have, right? Is it lost? Sorry? Yeah, I know I have to, but I should have. Sorry? I had a new job. This is one? Yeah, it is. Sorry. 6-10. Oh, my bad. Sorry. yeah, let's browse. So remember, the staging site was the empty site before, so now it's like a full blown. So it will take a couple of seconds to actually, again, hit the cold start.
How can you simulate web jobs locally?
Sorry?
How can you simulate these web jobs locally?
How can you just run them? It's a partial, it's just a script. So here it is, it runs, and I still kind of need to show you the web job. Which is, okay, I'll show you the web job. So to show you the web jobs, I'll go to the portal, web jobs. There is a web job tab, and you'll see two web jobs, amazingly. One called web job 2, and the other one is 22. And you can dive into it. There is logs here. You'll see the data and echo and what, exactly what happened. Anything that you emit out will work. Come on, come on. Anything basically you spin up will work it out. It actually goes to a different location, which is HTTPS, and there is a little bit of SCM here, which is my next demo, and I actually want to show it because we're running out of time, but as I promised, we're going to be over. So here it is. It's echoed, let it start, this is running the PowerShell, and it's going to run, and you can do the math if it's 8 seconds or not. Actually, it is. And this is the web job. All right. So, so we saw the web job. A web job, basically, you can upload a zip directly to the portal. You can do it through Kudu in a second. Anything that you put under updated jobs and then either continuous or trigger will become a job, and we will try to run it for you. If it exits on a failure, we will try to run it again. We'll take logs about it and so forth. There's a different log file for the management of web jobs. I'll show it in a second, and so forth. As I saw you for Visual Studio, everything works. Demo, Kudu. How many of you are familiar with Project Kudu, other than the two gentlemen here? Oh, well, a few, okay. Cool. So let's be experimental, which is always a bad thing, and see if... Schedule one, schedule one, you can drop it in the trigger, but nobody will call them unless you define the schedule. And the scheduler job is being done through the portal, not even our service. You can always do it on demand, those triggered one. Which website are we looking for? Remind me. It's not my awesome website, right? It's the other one, this one. We'll give it a second. If it's not going to go, we'll go directly into the back door to Kudu. I'm not going to wait.
Since WebJobs were introduced, is it a replacement for cloud services?
So the question is whether WebJobs is a replacement for cloud services. It's a good question. And to answer your question is it's getting there. You can do a bunch of stuff. You don't need another VM now to do any kind of async work. You can use queues, and you can listen on queues and do work for that, whatever you want to do in that manner. Background task, asynchronous task, whatever you need to have. The one caveat is if you need a very intensive work, you can deploy a web job as a website separately and use that, and use the web job as a hook, basically. This is not working, so let's just go to the back door. We don't have a lot of time. So we've seen the logs. And to complete the question, if you need to install anything, if you're using OnStart of cloud services to install something that has not been deployable, then you'll need to use a cloud service versus a website. OK, so what I'm going to show you now is the backdoor, which is this. It's HTTPS goes to something, my site, and then SCM. Staging site is fine. No, I actually don't want a staging site. Am I on the staging site? Never mind. Azure website net and so forth. I'm going to hit enter. And this is it. This is Project Kudu. This is the backend. This is a management console or hyper management console, whatever you want to call it. Not a lot of people are familiar with it, but it's pretty cool and nice, and here you are. So this gives you a bunch of stuff you can do. For example, the build, how long is the site is up, where it is actually running, specific folders, temp folders, yada, yada. If you look at the environment, for example, you'll see that you have a bunch of information. Cool information, system information, you know, the process of the bid. This is running on 2 count, which is, say, this is a medium. Didn't even know that. The machine name, bunch of other information, all the app settings that are coming, like the Git and the URL. Any app setting you put in webconfig will show up here. Any app setting you put in your app setting configuration in the portal will also show up here. Connection string, if you have them. Environment variable, bunch of stuff, and you can see the list is pretty long. All right, really cool. And everything is accessible to your code. So either web jobs, or this, or any site extension, which we'll see in a second. Another cool stuff is the command line. This is where you get 2-in-1. Why? Because this is way too big. Okay, this is way too small. This is a full-blown command line, like the console we saw before. Here it is. I can actually do crazy stuff, like remove everything, like all my deployments, for example. Let's say all the data. And this is an interactive part, so I can click that, and I assure, and actually I'm chicken, so I don't want to. Because that will blow the demo. But you get the idea, right? So you can do whatever you want here. I can actually run Notepad. We'll see that in a second. Plus, you get a full command line. So here's the data file that we've talked about. Like, here's the jobs, and here is the like log file for the continuous job. Here are all the information. So I'm going into each one of those. And these are not the jobs. These are just the log files for the jobs. I can download the log file. What did I do? Oh, actually, I pressed edit. You can edit it. You can delete it. You can do a bunch of other cool stuff. You can, how do you create a folder? I forgot. Oh, plus, folder, test. What? Where's test? Test. And what I want to do is I want to go here quickly. Let's take these. Sorry, let's take these and to archive, zip. Yeah. Go ahead. Here's the zip. I will, I'm in Chrome, right? Yes. I'll take this and I put it here and it will upload the zip and it will unpack the zip. That's cool. That's fine. No, I'm sweating here. You got a bunch of stuff. So a few things, important things, okay? Here's your site, dubdubroot, and everything underneath that code. I can actually go and see the code here, but it's not encouraged to see the code here. I mean, you get the idea. Repository, your repo is here. If something is broken with the Git repo or anything like this, you can actually go ahead and fix it. You can download the whole thing, logs and all those sort of stuff. This is the entire world. You can see everything here. This temp folder is very important. This is a temp folder per instance. High-level stuff, ignore if you don't want to. And anyway, you can see that this is like the machine. You got program files, program, and you may consider, hey, why am I doing this? This is all in the sandbox, so you can try and break it and do stuff with it. We're not going to let you. So it's pretty safe, but you have that. Another thing you have is a process explorer. I have... too many demos. Process Explorer shows you the processes that you're running. And I got a few processes, like the two partial that I have and my site. And this is the SCM site, which is the site we're now browsing. And this is kind of cool because you see information here, CPU, working set, memory. You can look into specific properties, which will give you like general information about the site, what is running, where it's running, how much CPU, memory, private set, and so forth. You can kill. Let's not do it for this one. You can download a memory dump if you want to do it. You can download a GC dump if it's .NET, which is super great. Then you can debug it. Excellent. Many, many times you don't know which models have been loaded. You can select the model that has been loaded over here. Handles, also very important. You know when there's locks and stuff like that between different threads and all that, what is being locked, you can go. You can search the threads themselves that are running. You can run on each thread what is willing, what is yada, yada, and you can get the idea right basically here. What else? Okay. And there's something called site extension, which is pretty cool. But before that, comical break, I have to do a break, guys. We love Azure websites. So with the extension that we have, the CSM site, which is the one that actually powering everything behind, is just as it says here, HTTPS foo SCM. Source Control Manager, that was the first incarnation, that was the first deployment that we did, but we built a lot of other services around that. The authentication to this site, as you can see, I can do anything. Authentication happens through Active Directory, so if you log to the portal, you'll be able to log into that. There is a second set of creds, which is basic auth, which you can use, like your FTP creds and deployment creds. You can use that, and we in the future are gonna allow you basically to turn off that capability for security purposes. The important thing, this runs in the same context as your site. It can read all the environment in the build, all the configuration, everything, which is great because it can do a bunch of stuff with it. And it's used mainly for admin tools. Kudu, very important, open source. GitHub.com, Project Kudu. All the APIs, everything is there, exactly the code that runs the web jobs if you're really interested in that. Site extension management, let me go through really quick through the site extension. So site extensions are cool. With site extension, you can do stuff. I'm running late, so bear with me. Site extensions, you'll be able to... site extensions, gallery. So you can do a bunch of stuff. There is a gallery of site extensions, which are helper functions, like, hey, the Visual Studio one, let's edit. I can install that. The admin tools, which is the Kudu, I can install that. And there is site replicator that we have seen in the morning. And I would like to add the log browser as well. And This one takes a little bit of time because those couple of them are actually deployed on the box all the time. This one is actually getting it from the repo, and we're getting it from here. Here, here, here. Man. We're getting it from this file. It's kind of a NuGet model, so you can download, you can upload. You can upload your own site extensions if you want to. While the site loading up, I'll go ahead here. I need to restart the site. I'll go here, come on. Here it is. So you can see here basically like all the packages. You can deploy, you can create your own packages. Pretty cool. You can contribute to the community. So we restart the site, and now I can go to the installed, and I see a bunch of stuff. I'm going to run the logger, but before I'm going to run the logger, let me run to the site itself. This is the site. I want to need to go here, configure. There's a lot of settings that you can change. Are we okay, 5 minutes, 5 or 4 minutes? Okay, thanks. So I'm going to enable some logging functionality, like application diagnostics. And you can set the error level, let's say verbose, which is kind of nice. You can do the same thing. This go to the file system. You can do the same thing for table store. So basically, you're going to anything under system trace, anything under console.write, PHP, anything you write to the console node, and so forth. Create a new table. Yeah, this is cool. It's just. That's what happened when you're trying to. Okay, create. Yes. And it's doing the same thing for all the tracing. I'm going to put them into blob. There is a difference between blob and table store, and it's a pretty good difference. And the reason there is a difference is I'm going to show it to you once we get to the Explorer on the site extension. Save. There is a way to set retention policy if you don't want to accumulate too much. We don't care for this. And there is site diagnostic. This is for your HTTP logs. I can, again, go to storage or file system. I can enable FRAB, detail error, and so forth. Let me save. Okay, you've reset 5 minutes. Okay, so can't really remember where are we. Browse, staging. Good, okay. So this is the site. Now I'm gonna just generate some, like here's a 500, and here is a 400, and here is some log that I'm running in the background. If you wanna look, the code itself, it's very, very simple. See, I'm doing some traces over here. I'm generating exception. This produces the log. I'm just doing that basically to generate some logs. Press this button by mistake. To basically go ahead and see how the log browser look like. So go to the log browser, hit this. We'll run. This is a site. This is basically, here's a site, website log, running under SCM, under the HTTPS, just like any regular site. And you can see here a bunch of logs. I'm not going to go through all of them. I encourage you. But here, for example, is the CUDA log, you know, file system log. All everything here on the file system, you can actually go ahead through the CUDA. You have access to the log and just download them. The nice thing is here's the blob search. So this has access to blob. This goes away to the blob and basically can go ahead. And the reason it can do that is because all the settings that we have set up just now with the configuration are at the site level. And you can do whatever you want here, like download the thing. The more interesting view is like the table store, because the table store, we actually format that a little bit, and you can see everything. Verbose, errors, you can search, you can do whatever you feel like. Anything you put on the system.trace, right here. So it's great, easy to debug it, configure that, and once you go ahead and change configuration here on the fly, it's adapted automatically. Okay, I need to show one more thing, please. Very important thing. Staging. Where is the site? So I'm going to put here the Process Explorer. And this is staging. Okay, process, staging, cool. So here is the site. And what I'm going to show you is something we call auto-heal. Sometimes bad things happen to your application. Too much memory, too many handles, too many 500. Something happens, whether we induce it, whether your code induce it, and Sometimes, usually, restarting your app solves majority of the problem. So what I'm going to show you is this. Let's say I have a 500 and nothing happened. Okay, I'm going to basically going to generate enough of them over a short period of time to trigger something that we have configured. And as you see now, this already takes time. Now remember, 9848. Okay, let me refresh this. What you'll see here is that 9848 will change into something else. And what happened is that there were too many 500 errors that happened on a short time span. And because I have it deployed, I configured that in a certain way, I recycle the site. This is how it looks like. You go into your system, into your web config, you're adding basically monitoring and triggers, and we're saying, hey, whenever there is 500, regardless of other status code, if I get 5 of them within 30 seconds, your action will be to recycle my site. You can run executable, you can take a memory dump, and you can cascade multiple actions. So with that in mind, let's just fly through the slides. Site extension, demo, logging, tracing, demo with Zid. Anything important here? Any on the system, we tell that, stored in file. Yeah, okay. Sorry about that. Auto healing, very important. So it can be based on request count, slow count. If you can see there is, for some reason, some of the handlers take too long, recycle them. HTTP status code could be very, very detailed. Memory limits, I always use it for memory limits. I have memory leaks from here to whatever, and this helps me. And you can basically take action, recycle, take a memory dump, run an executable, cascade those, whatever you want. We are chaining this into diagnostic as a service, which I didn't show it because it's not 100% ready, but it will come up with information about in the next couple of weeks. This is the blog for actually reading about auto healing. You can search auto healing Windows Azure websites and you will find it. So what we have seen, continuous deployment integration with hooking to Zapier, very cool. Staging and testing in production, extremely important if you want to elevate and start testing really, really fast and deploy really fast. With all the hooks and everything that we've talked to the branches. Web jobs, great opportunity to start replacing your VM if you can. Kudu, amazing place to lurk. You guys are more welcome to look into it. Write your own site extension. There is a gallery. Share whatever you have with the community. We'll be happy. Site extensions, we talked. AutoHeal, there are many more features that we have not covered. Follow the team blogs, and the Twitter that we have. And 7 minutes late, and thank you for staking. Thank you very much. Get started with Azure websites.